Today's message will be shorter than usual as we take time in our service for words of thanksgiving from all at Oak Tree who would like to share. Please open your Bible to Psalm 100 as we unpack it briefly now. Well, A.A. Milne's Piglet understood this thanksgiving stuff. He noticed that though he had a very small heart, it could hold a rather large amount of gratitude. Thanksgiving is the act of giving out or sharing around that gratitude. The act of thanksgiving is so powerful as it glorifies our wonderful, almighty, loving God. And the psalmist of Psalm 100, whoever that is, understood the power of what we're doing during today's service, thanking God for his goodness and mercy, for who he is and for what he's done. And as Melbourne has emerged from long, dark months of lockdown, we too are revisiting thankfulness in a whole new way. But think back to when we were inside that vacuum of lockdown. Thankfulness was a lot harder to access then. We had to get really intentional about it. Yet God was unchanging all the way through that. Verse 3 here says, "The Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His people." This is the first of two verses here which explain where our thanksgiving begins. He is God, Lord of all. He made us. We belong to Him, the one who adores us, has the best in mind for us, and passionately desires that we would thrive and flourish. He loves us with a perfect love that knows no end. We are His people. We're not just in the head count of His family census, but we're known by Him. Our every thought and move known by Him. Formed by Him to worship Him, we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. This is why we can give thanks in every season and in all circumstances. We are intimately and personally known. The great I Am is so totally for us, cheering us on from the sidelines and shepherding us to protect our souls. If we can get this, we'll spend our lives leaping from there into verse 4, which is to enter His gates with thanksgiving and to enter His courts with praise. Not wandering along in a distracted way, not creeping along in the shadows feeling unworthy, not brashly trying to gatecrash His throne room, but humbly and with confidence in the finished work of the cross, thanking the King of Kings for His majestic greatness and His gentle kindness, entering His gates and courts permanently to dwell in His presence because He moves our hearts to praise and thanksgiving. And there we seek softer and softer and more responsive hearts turned to Him, desiring to live every minute in the throne room, thanking Him, praising Him, because now we come to the next reason for this life of praise. It's verse 5. He is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Jesus said in Luke 18 verse 19 that God alone is good. And Psalm 145 verse 9 says that He is good to all and His mercy is over all He has made. His love for us is enduring through all that goes on, and His faithfulness likewise is unending. It's His goodness, love, and faithfulness that offer eternal life to all of us who follow Jesus. As part of my ongoing professional development, I'm currently undertaking a four-month course in something called Clinical Pastoral Education at the Royal Melbourne Hospital, or CPE as it's known. A large part of this is the task of offering pastoral care to a ward of patients. And a standout aspect of this over the last 2 months has been the number of people I've spoken to who believe in God but say, "I've tried so hard to be good all my life. I've done my best. I've been to church every Sunday. I've got my kids baptized and confirmed. I've tried so hard to be a good person. And I've been a good person. But here I am, suffering. God is punishing me." such a sad and unbiblical viewpoint. It's religion without relationship. It's faith without understanding. Behavior without love. It's suffering that is not God's punishment at all. A worldview that's coming from a place of not knowing what God is like nor knowing his ways. God is good, loving, and faithful. His gift of eternal life is free. None of us are good enough. There's nothing we can do to earn our way into eternity. None of us measure up to his standards, which is why he sent his son to die in our place. He alone is good and loving and faithful. Salvation is a free gift of life as we choose relationship, not religious responses, with Jesus. And so from verse 3, knowing that God is the Lord of all and we are his, and from verse 5, knowing what he's like, good, loving and faithful, we can be people of thanksgiving. Knowing who he is and what he's like, we have understanding from which we can shout for joy in every situation and enter his gates and courts, that is his presence, with thanksgiving. Angela went on a holiday with her family to the Dominican Republic, and 2 weeks after they returned home, she developed symptoms of hardly being able to move or even lift her head. She was finding it hard to breathe. Tests showed nothing, and doctors became frustrated with her, thinking she was making it up. 8 weeks passed with no change and no answers. Angela experienced a great sense of hopelessness. A doctor who was a family friend dug harder then into what was going on and found it was a condition called ciguatera, which is a toxin that comes from eating tropical fish. Angela had eaten common types of well-cooked fish while she was away and caught this rare disease which had no treatment or cure. It usually ends with death and might even run for 25 years before that happens. Angela got so sick, she felt like she was in a coma. She couldn't move or open her eyes. All she could do was hear what was going on around her with her husband and 3 kids, but she could not respond. In time, she managed to ask to be taken to the elders of her church for them to pray and anoint her, as it says in the Bible. As she was leaving there, a pastor asked if she thanked God for what was going on. She knew the verses about that and broke down because she hadn't done it, but she decided to give it a go. She found it hard to start speaking words of gratitude for something she hated so much, but bit by bit, she did start thanking God. She thanked him that she could not understand anything that was going on, and she thanked him for not knowing if she'd even live another day. And as she did this, she kept hearing him say, "For I will be glorified, for I will be glorified." Well, in time, Angela felt something lift and break off her as she kept giving the Lord thanks. One day, she just knew on the inside that God had healed her as part of the fullness of her salvation. And with that, she got up off the bed with her kids watching and found she was completely well. Jesus had healed her permanently and completely. Her thanksgiving to God in the midst of impossibility and having no earthly reason to give thanks was the turning point. What were those verses about thanksgiving that she knew of but hadn't given attention to until her pastor reminded her to give thanks to God? Here they are. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18 tells us to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you and for us. And Philippians 4 6 goes like this: "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Powerful verses of truth to live by. powerful reminders as we give thanks today so that the Lord may be glorified in every season. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for healing Angela. And thank you for the beautiful stories of Thanksgiving among us this year at Oak Tree. We choose to be people of your powerful word, living from it and by it. We make a choice now to give thanks to you for whatever's going on in all circumstances, the good and the bad. And we make a choice to make sure Thanksgiving will be the start and the finishing point every time we turn our anxieties into prayers and bring them before you. Stir us, Lord, to share our stories of your goodness with each other. We shout for joy to you, and we worship you with hearts of gladness. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.